From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, June 17th, 2026.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking. Celebrating 26 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath. Open 7 days a week.
The ranked choice runoffs for several primary races have been pushed back until at least Thursday because of issues with a small number of ballots. Both party primaries for governor and the Democratic nominating contest in Maine's 2nd congressional district will be decided by ranked choice runoffs. State elections officials had hoped to run the tabulations on Wednesday, but Chief Deputy Secretary of State Catherine McBrien announced late Wednesday afternoon that paper ballots had to be retrieved from South Berwick and rescanned. As a result, McBrien says the runoff will not take place until Thursday. The Maine Public Utilities Commission voted unanimously Tuesday to order an investigation into passenger rate hikes for the Casco Bay Ferry. More than 50 Islanders petitioned the PUC, arguing that the ferry rate hikes will hurt low- and middle-income families, seniors, and college students. Lead petitioner Mary Lou Wendell says Casco Bay's board of directors is not acting in the best interests of the island's non-commuting residents.
And now the PUC filing an investigation into their rulings and their behavior is shameful. It should be an embarrassment for them.
The Office of the Public Advocate supports the investigation and suggested to the PUC that they suspend the rate increase while the probe plays out, but the PUC declined to do that, and the new rates take effect on Saturday. Maine Health has been awarded a $1.1 million federal grant to research the impact of PFAS exposure in children. Dr. Abby Fleisch is a pediatric endocrinologist and principal investigator for the study. She says PFAS exposure puts patients at higher risk for obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease, but there's a gap in some of the data.
I hope that the work that we do will put some additional data behind that so that we can make sure that we're monitoring for all the correct conditions in kids who know that they've been exposed.
PFAS, also known as forever chemicals, are found in many consumer products. They've also been detected in food and water supplies in Maine and elsewhere in the U.S. Unity Environmental University has announced the sale of its campus in Unity this week to an unknown buyer. As Michael Livingston reports, the sale comes as the college expands much of its online learning options.
In a press release, the university says the campus at 90 Quaker Hill will sell for $6 million after being on the market since 2023. The buyer, who has not been publicly identified, has plans to use the property for upscale summer camp programming. For nearly a decade, Unity has worked to pivot its programs to mostly online learning, and President Melick Peter Corey says it's paid off. While other small New England colleges are seeing declining enrollment, Unity's has increased, with nearly 1,300 students graduating this year. But Corey says he and other alumni will still mourn the loss of the campus.
It is definitely bittersweet, you know, having that asset there that hasn't kind of recovered since COVID. I'm just glad that we have found a second life for it with a youth camp organization that can bring life back into that property.
In-person classes will still be offered at Unity's more than 200-acre campus at Pineland Farms in New Gloucester. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
Declining enrollments at schools across the country are creating uncertainties for many families. On tiny island schools off the coast of Maine, those challenges are ever present. In the second of two reports, Maddie Smith explores how some island school systems are working hard to survive changing demographics.
You guys can hop on in.
On any given morning, all the students in the Cranberry Isles school system can fit into one minivan.
Hey, kids, can you move to the back?
There are just five kids, ranging in age from 8 to 12. But that will change next year. There's some excitement building for a new program that will expand enrollment.
It's the pre-K room! It's all pre-K stuff because we got new pre-Ks coming.
Fourth grader Ezra Bunker says he knows both of the pre-K students who are joining next year.
Theo is my next door neighbor and Elijah's my brother.
This is the only way the islands have been able to bolster their student numbers. They've also offered to take students from the five towns on Mount Desert Island who might be seeking a more personalized experience, but no one has taken them up on it. Down the coast in Casco Bay, another island community is having some success attracting outside students from the mainland.
That would be amazing.
It is 8 a.m. on a clear but brisk sunny spring day, and nine students are lined up to board the ferry from Cousins Island in Yarmouth.
It's not just like hopping on the bus and getting right to school, especially standing on the dock. That's the hardest part, waiting for the boat to come. It's pretty cold.
Isla Wuerl lives in North Yarmouth, about 15 miles from Portland. For the past 2 years, she's been taking the boat out to the Shebeag Island School, which serves kids from kindergarten through fifth grade. Isla is a sixth grader, but was accepted for another year.
I had a hard time with some of the kids at my other school, and I like how it was a lot smaller here, and it was like a lot bigger at my old school. And I like the idea of taking a boat every day, and how it was just very different.
Mainland families pay $5,000 to send their kids to Shebeag Island School. There's the additional cost of a ferry pass that goes for over $500. But Isla's mom, Lita, says it's all worth it, as she felt both her children were getting lost in the larger classroom in the Greeley school system, and she wanted something different for them.
It just appeared to really value allowing the kids to be themselves, have a lot of outdoor time, and we just wanted to protect their childhood as much as possible while still giving them the best academic chance.
And Lita says she felt reassured the teacher was someone she knew from Isla's kindergarten year on the mainland.
I don't think I would have stayed in teaching if I didn't make the shift.
Mary Train has been teaching for over 3 decades and says she was starting to fall out of love with the profession before coming out to Shebeag 3 years ago. She says the island school setting reminds her of her childhood.
Things like play opportunities, hands-on experiences, a lot of social, just getting used to school. It's almost like there's not time for that anymore. And I think some families were feeling like it was too much for their students.
Shebeag residents voted to secede from the Cumberland school system nearly 20 years ago. The island school was renovated, but ran at half capacity for some time. Enrollment has since rebounded, with 23 kids, including 9 from the mainland. That may be in part due to the small class sizes.
So I think that kind of smallness, both in terms of overall school size, as well as just the individual classes, is a real draw for kids who are just, you know, can be overwhelming in the bigger context.
And Shebeag Superintendent Aaron Townsend says it helps that the school is so close to a number of large southern Maine communities that it can draw from with only a 20-minute ferry commute.
Having that cohort of like academic and social peers as a way to sustain the island school, we're certainly unique in being able to do it because of the like CTC ferry connection, right? There aren't many of the unbridged islands that have that close a ferry connection, even here within Casco Bay.
Isla Wuerl will age out of the Shebeag school next year and will have to take classes on the mainland once again. But her mom, Lita, says her 2 years on the island have helped Isla to blossom academically and as a person.
Had I looked back this time last year, I was very nervous of putting her back in the school system, but she is now more prepared than ever.
And Superintendent Aaron Townsend says the appeal of the program has helped the island maintain enrollments at a consistent level, enough to support its budget and its mission. Though Shebeag Island is hopeful for its school's future, it is a challenging time for other island communities in Casco Bay. There was talk recently of closing Cliff Island School, which serves just 2 students. The idea was strongly resisted by residents. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
The Democratic Republic of the Congo's men's national soccer team pulled off an unlikely 1-1 draw against Portugal Wednesday in the African country's first World Cup appearance in more than 50 years. More than 150 members of Maine's Congolese community attended a watch party at a bar in Portland, where the energetic crowd filled multiple rooms and spilled onto the street. Blessing Mukembo of Portland says the game was an opportunity to show joy and pride against the backdrop of increased federal immigration enforcement.
Since like the ICE thing, people being scared to be outside, and this is bringing all of us together to experience something we haven't experienced in a minute, because like this is really big.
The reality outside the game did not appear to dampen fans' spirits, however, as DR Congo scored its first goal in World Cup history, the crowd went wild. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Erwin Gratz for Morning Edition starting at 5 a.m. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.